Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, if right now you are looking to hear one of the greatest prayer requests that ever could be made, and if you hunger and thirst for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I am sure with this message you won't be disappointed. We have before us now, continuing with our study of the Lord's Prayer, the fifth petition that Jesus taught his followers to pray. In Matthew 6, verse 12, it reads, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." And in Luke 11, verse 4, it reads, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." Is this a prayer that you make requests for before God too, even on a daily basis? The prayer to be forgiven and to be forgiving is our focus now. The forgiveness petition. That's the theme for this sermon. And there are three main points we will follow. First, what an amazingly possible request in Jesus' name. Second, this is an amazingly powerful request for Jesus' sake. And third, this is an amazingly peaceful request in Jesus' name. First then, the point, this fifth petition is an amazingly possible request in Jesus' name. To get at the wonder of this, we need to think about the words forgive and sin and debt. The word forgive means literally to let go, to release, to pardon, to exempt, to not count against us anymore something that is owed by us or wrongly done by us. A penalty is let go. A debt is released, all forgiven, no longer counted against us, no longer part of us, free from it. Forgive doesn't just mean, Lord, don't think about them anymore. Please close your eyes to all that we have ever done wrong. But it means rather, Lord, remove those sins altogether away from us. Indeed, as the Bible-based Heidelberg Catechism explains, don't impute to us or reckon to our account any longer. Don't impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions. That's what we pray for when we say, forgive us our debts. Forgive is not just, Lord, forget about all our wrongs, but rather seeing it and knowing it full well, Lord, yet blot it all out, we pray. Let it count as really being no longer there anymore. Indeed, as if it had never even existed at all. Forgive us, Lord, that is, impute not to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor the depravity which always cleaves to us. Well, do you agree, dear friends, asking God so to forgive us is asking a whole lot, especially also asking God to so forgive you? Yes, if you think too about that word debts and the word sins, these are but two words of several, all telling of the various angles of wrongdoing and wickedness you and I can be and are guilty of before God, left to ourselves. The Bible speaks of sins, debts, iniquities, transgressions, trespasses, wickedness, rebellion, evil, disobedience, lawlessness, all as different words describing our guilt in wrongdoing before God, the Holy One. God made us in the beginning good and holy, perfectly able not to sin. But after the fall of Adam and Eve, all are conceived and born in sin, and all people fall short of the glory of God. All our lives, you and me, each one of us are full of sins and debts before the Lord in countless ways, in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Do you know and confess this too with sorrow of heart and repentance of heart before God? We, you and I, owe God and are obligated to Him to live perfectly holy and sinless lives. But no one of us now is ever capable of it. Rather, daily we increase our debts and add to our sins. Take notice that Jesus teaches in this fifth petition, forgive us our sins or our debts, both words being in the plural. Oh, Jesus knows our sins, yours and mine too, are not just a few wrong things here and there once in a while on our part. But rather, there is with us, as the psalmist confesses, a mighty stream of foul transgression prevailing day by day. And that just hasn't been the case for a long time ago, but it's over and over the case, alas, daily so. Thus also the psalmist of Psalm 130 confesses, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Have you thought about this before? If our sins, your sins, and mine were each like a drop of water, how they could in number be comparable to an ocean of water in depth and breadth and width, so vast as the waters of the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, or both combined even, and more yet. And shall we ask God then to forgive us all that evil against Him? Well, in the fifth petition, dear friends, Jesus teaches us so to pray, doesn't He? Yes, He teaches it as an amazingly possible request. A request to pray, which is indeed all the more amazing when you think too of how inexcusable and how offensive and all too often how wickedly purposeful even all our sins are. Your and my sins and debts before God are always a result of you and me being willfully wrong before God and intentionally evil and ungodly. No one of us, not you either, can ever truthfully say, I sinned, but it wasn't actually my fault. No, that's a lie. It's always our own fault when we sin. We are responsible. So can we ask God to forgive us debts we purposely have made against Him? Yes, Jesus says, we may truly pray for this, repenting and trusting Him. What is still more amazing about this request too is Jesus teaches us not to come to God with something of ourselves for this gift of forgiveness, but simply to ask for it in Jesus' name and in view of His precious blood shed on sinners' behalf. In other words, we may ask for forgiveness of all our sins and debts, all to be freely and fully granted us, not for any reasons in or about ourselves, but only all for reasons taken from out of God Himself and from out of His saving work in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Only and always because of Christ's shed blood in atonement for sin, may you and I plead for and trust in the forgiveness of sins. Oh, all the false religions of the world and every idea of spirituality from the natural man fails to understand this gracious and glorious fifth petition. So much religion is simply out to appease the gods, to make them maybe somehow favorable to us, being merciful to us perhaps because of some good deed we try to do or have done or might yet do. But that's all rubbish of false religion, of false gods that don't even exist. So countless millions and billions of people, however, live with an empty hope and on this frustrating basis of perhaps, maybe, getting forgiveness of sins finally and ultimately because of something in or of or from themselves. Oh, what hopelessness that is. Always such hope is indeed forever vain and without basis and with no promise of real forgiveness, of everlasting forgiveness. People can give all kinds of sacrifices or give all kinds of gifts or do all kinds of so-called good works, but never, ever can anything that sinful man does bring the least forgiveness of any single sin even before the one only true and holy God. The God with whom we each have to do. But hear now the gospel tidings, dear friends. God, who created us good and saw man fall, stated even the day of man's fall, that He Himself would bring about a way of true forgiveness, a way that gives sure hope of forgiveness, rich and free, even for the most sinful person on earth, an everlasting hope for every sinner on earth, no matter how high their mountain of sins and debts might be. If they but repent and believe on Jesus Christ, they shall be forgiven. Jesus was on the way to the cross when he taught his followers the so-called Lord's Prayer. Jesus knew for his name's sake it was an amazingly possible request that we may make before God and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, Jesus' own perfect life lived on sinners' behalf, and his shed blood poured out as a righteous sacrifice and punishment and payment for sin on sinners' behalf. That would open the way for all the forgiveness of all the sins for all his people, even for as many as repent and believe. For as many who has honestly prayed his fifth petition, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, this is the unchanging, ever reliable gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Do you hear it and treasure it too with all your heart and soul and mind, needing this gospel as your lifeline? Yes, speaking of sins and deaths and your sinful nature and natural depravity of heart as fallen sons and daughters of Adam, are you bothered by it all too, dear friends? Does it plague and haunt you as well? The matter of your sins and sinfulness by nature, I ask each one now, do you too take this as seriously as we need to? Apart from the grace of God in your life and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, you too will mostly just shrug off your sins and sinfulness and at best be a bit religious maybe to soothe your conscience. But that's all. But the Bible says you and I must repent and be converted if we are to be saved. That is, we need to receive the forgiveness of sins freely offered in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I ask you now, are you doing that? Are there sins that especially trouble you and temptations you are so prone to fall for? Do you have hidden sin, bosom sins, sins of the past, sins in your thoughts, words and deeds that keep resurfacing even in your memory? Are there sins forgiven that still you can't forget? Oh, whatever it is with sin and debts before God in your and my life, and with our whole sinful self still by nature, even as redeemed children of God, we may bring all our sins and sinfulness and debts, known and unknown, past and present and future, praying as Jesus taught, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It is so amazing that this sure promise and hope of forgiveness may be there for people like us. We understand what we are asking for in the fifth petition, that it would cost Jesus for us even to pray this with the promise of receiving it for his sake. Oh, it should just overwhelm us in amazement. What a mercy and wonder that this is a prayer we may make before God with the promise also of receiving what we request. Are you amazed and overwhelmingly astonished at the gospel truth of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ? The fifth petition is an amazingly possible request for Jesus' sake. That is our first point. Come along in worship of God, the Savior, to our second point, thinking about how the fifth petition is also an amazingly powerful request for Jesus' sake. It is amazingly powerful if you think about the truth of the gospel that through Jesus' person and work, forgiveness of sin is something God is able to do justly and freely and repeatedly. On account of Jesus' once for all sacrifice, God never ever has to withhold his justice or diminish his holiness in the forgiveness of any sinner with any sin. God is so pleased to forgive sins for Jesus' sake. Indeed, he delights in mercy, the Bible says in Micah 7:18. And even we read in Psalm 86, verse 5, God stands ready to forgive. And in Nehemiah 9:17, ready to pardon. You see, nothing can give God more pleasure than forgiving sinners their sins, even as we confess them before him, pleading his mercy for Jesus' sake. You have a wrong idea of God if you think of him as only grudgingly granting forgiveness to anyone who asks in Jesus' name. No, no. Rather, as preacher C.H. Spurgeon also once put it so well long ago, quote, Jesus is a greater Savior than you think him to be when your thoughts are the greatest. My Lord is more ready to pardon, said Spurgeon, than you to sin, more able to forgive than you to transgress. My master is more willing to supply your wants than you are to confess them. Never tolerate low thoughts of my Lord Jesus. End of quote. Is that true, you ask, though? Jesus is more ready to pardon than I to sin, and more able to forgive than I to transgress, more willing to supply my needs than I to confess them even? Yes, it is the gospel truth, dear friends. The Lord's forgiveness for sinners is powerful, not only thinking of God's sure willingness to forgive sinners for Jesus' sake, but think too of the immeasurableness of God's forgiveness for Jesus' sake. By immeasurable, I mean the Bible tells a person can never sin more than God can forgive. Not all the sins of all mankind, in all the world, over all history, can measure up to the grace of God as revealed in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of all our sins and sinfulness that may be found in and with Him. If you are worried about any sin, even if you think it might be the sin against the Holy Spirit that you committed, go to God with it, confessing it and asking His forgiveness, and I guarantee to you, in Jesus' name, you will receive pardon from Him, rich and free. But not going to Him to ask for forgiveness and continuing in that way, you are always then just a breath away from eternal hell itself, justly deserving it for your sins. The gospel tidings now yet are, God never gets tired of a repentant sinner coming to Him for forgiveness. And always forgiveness is found with Him for Jesus' sake, though you come repeatedly and so often even, perhaps with the same sins again and again. The devil loves to have us fall into sin and then convince us, okay, now you have gone too far. You have sinned once too often, and it is hopeless to come back to God for forgiveness and mercy. But no, come as you are, a poor sinner, a guilty, depraved sinner, a sinner who time and again, even as a saved person, experiences that the good you would, you do not, but the evil that you would not do, and that you hate, you still do, alas, all too often. Oh, ask for Jesus' sake pardon and cleansing and renewal, and God will grant it according to His promise in and through Jesus Christ. Are you somebody maybe not yet convinced of this gospel truth, and not knowing the comfort of God's forgiveness on account thereof, because you just can't believe it may be there for such a sinner as you? Oh, my friend, instead of focusing on the vileness of your sins, behold and see the blood of Jesus shed on sinners' behalf. For every one look to self, take 10 looks to Him. Jesus' blood was not shed for partially good sinners, or not so hopelessly bad and shameful and vile sinners, but it was shed for wicked and vile, guilty, hopelessly lost sinners, sinful from head to toe, and corrupt and wicked through and through. If with God there is forgiveness for sinners like Adam and Eve, and for Jacob and Rahab and David and Manasseh, and for sinners like Peter and Paul, for you too, there may be forgiveness found, you can be sure. Did John the Baptist not declare concerning Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world"? Did Jesus not say to it, Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Meaning also, bring your burden of sin and guilt to Him, however great it seems and is, and find forgiveness with Him, yes, for His name's sake. What is so amazingly powerful about this request too is not only how God is pleased to forgive us for Jesus' sake, and the immeasurableness of His forgiveness for us for Jesus' sake, but think too of the extensiveness of His forgiveness towards us for Jesus' sake. It is not forgiveness only for a time, but forever. It is not forgiveness that is partial, but complete. When the Lord forgives us our sins, in other words, even for as many as ask for this mercy for Jesus' sake, then God forgives in the sense that He remembers our sin no more. He blots out our sins and sinfulness and makes them to be out of sight, out of mind, out of reach, and that forevermore. Oh, what a Savior of sinners Jesus is. Look what He accomplished for the salvation of guilty, vile sinners. How great Jesus Christ is, and how forever blessed the redeemed through His precious blood, with His once for all sacrifice on sinners' behalf. But how justly and woefully condemned forever all those who will not hear His voice and confess and forsake their sins in this life, all those will be refusing to call on Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. The gospel truth is, when God forgives us our sins for Jesus' sake, He no longer sees our sins, nor that we are sinners, but He sees us in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness. And the Lord imputes or reckons to our account Jesus' perfect person and righteousness instead of all our sins and sinfulness, so that as forgiven sinners we may be and are reconciled with God as His dear children, and having everlasting righteousness before Him in and through Christ, and may also know thus the promise and gift of eternal life. John writes thus in 1 John 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Oh, so great and grand is God's forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake. Yes, when praying the fifth petition in faith for Jesus' sake, so powerful is this request. Also, when you just consider the effectiveness and impact of God's forgiveness towards us by God's grace and Spirit. And this Jesus brings out clearly with the wording of the petition just being, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." With that second phrase, Jesus isn't saying, "Forgive us, Lord, on the condition that we forgive those who sin against us, or to the measure that we forgive those who sin against us or wrong us in any way." No, but Jesus is saying, when truly praying for the forgiveness of sin and coming to know God's forgiveness of our sins, always the effect and impact will be and must be that you will in turn be forgiving towards all others in reference to yourself. You see, the gospel truth is, when the Spirit works in a person the genuine prayer, "Lord, forgive me my sins," and at the same time there will be the gracious, humble attitude, "Even as I, Lord, will forgive those who have sinned or do sin against me." If you will be and remain unforgiving towards someone who has wronged you, not only does that mean you can't know God's forgiveness of your own sins, but also you simply have not genuinely asked yet for forgiveness of your sins either. For if you truly have asked for forgiveness from God, you can't but be also forgiving towards all others. For when a person really repents of sin, he sees how great a sinner he is, and every other sinner is viewed as less a sinner than you yourself. Praying the fifth petition genuinely doesn't mean you never will have struggles forgiving others their wrongs done to you, or that you will never remember other people's wrongs towards you. But it means you won't harbor bitterness and ill feelings and resentment. It is a fact of grace and experiencing grace when we sometimes struggle with being forgiving towards others still, that looking to Jesus helps us again and again, nevertheless, to be forgiving towards others. Now look at the cross of Jesus, and God's forgiveness of our sins in and through Him does give reasons and strength also to be forgiving even towards the most hurtful against us, for it just never can compare what evils we have done and do before God our Savior. Doesn't every true Christian identify with this reality in their own Christian experience? How true what a certain preacher said, "One could as well speak of a round square or an empty fullness as speak of an unforgiving Christian." There may be and probably are many who are unforgiving and yet called Christians, but there are no real Christians who are unforgiving, because the same God who grants us forgiveness as a free gift also grants us the free gift of His Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts, renewing the heart, it is not possible for us to remain unforgiving. Indeed, this is one of the ways that we can test ourselves to know whether or not we have grounds for assurance, whether we know the life of true repentance and faith in Christ. Isn't this just so true, dear friends? I come yet to our last point, which I need only be brief about, but which is so good to mention yet too. This fifth petition is an amazingly possible request for Jesus' sake, and an amazingly powerful request for Jesus' sake. And thirdly now, it's an amazingly peaceful request for Jesus' sake. Those who pray this fifth petition looking to Jesus, just think what peace with God we may have. What peace with others too we may enjoy. Praying this petition, though of ourselves our sins rise up against us, yet they can be cleared all away. And we can go to bed each night with a conscience void of offense before God and man. And we can start each day, each week, each month, each year with a clean slate over and over again. And who can measure the worth of this blessing even for body and soul in life and death? How many live with a nagging conscience and loaded with guilt for sins known and unknown? But for the Christian, we may have peace with God. Not only finding justification with Him, but daily forgiveness of all our sins too. The gospel truth, which God's people also know from experience by the grace of God, is that the person praying also the fifth petition in Jesus' name may have peace with God, peace with others, and peace with life, and peace for the future, even peace in death. When you know the forgiveness of sins and daily live out of that also in the way of the fifth petition, pray to God regularly, then you may live and die in peace, and you have the promise of eternal peace to come. Truly, you see, nothing can compare in value to the forgiveness of our sins and sinfulness in the way Jesus all meant that with this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Will there be any of you who just refuses to bring this prayer request before the Lord as Jesus taught us to pray it? Oh, I pray all will pray this prayer in spirit and truth, initially and continually. For certainly as David also realized, how blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven. It is the gospel message still today, dear friends. No one can afford to live and die without being forgiven of God for Jesus' sake alone. Will you now then pray to God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. Yes, please, for Jesus' sake alone, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.